Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. And we have on the show with us today, on the line actually, Dr. Rebecca Keller, a PhD in biophysical chemistry from the University of New Mexico, who did postdoc work at UC Berkeley and worked in the departments of neuroscience and cell biology at the University of New Mexico. And then a few years ago, back in 2001, started to take a different direction with her career and became a textbook author. She is now the CEO of Gravitas Publications and the author of the Real Science for Kids textbook series, providing very good science textbooks and some of the basic core subjects of science for students below the high school level, at least at this point. The website is www.gravitaspublications.com. We're going to be talking about this today with Dr. Keller on this podcast. Dr. Keller, thank you so much for being on the show with us once again here.
Thank you for having me, Casey.
Well, as we talked about in the prior interview with you, you are a signer of our Dissent from Darwinism list, and you have gone and testified before state legislatures and state boards of education in favor of scientific critical analysis of evolution. And I think that your words should carry some weight because you yourself are actually a science educator and an author of science textbooks. So could you tell us a little bit about the Real Science for Kids textbook series, as well as telling us about the philosophy behind your textbooks?
Well, let me first tell you how I define science, because that's critical for understanding how the curriculum is put together. I think if you ask any number of people about how to define science, you're going to get a number of different definitions. And having been in science for quite a number of years, I would define science as having two parts. One part being the practice of science, and what I mean by that is the gathering of facts or the collection of data about the world around us. And, you know, a way to illustrate this point is that if you have a room of people and there's a certain temperature in the room, you can teach everybody in the room how to take a temperature. And there might be gradients of temperatures near windows or near the door, but overall there's a single temperature in the room. Everybody in the room, depending on how well they learn how to use the instruments, can come to some agreement on what the temperature in the room is. And so that would be a fact, just the fact of what the temperature in the room is. And that's really what I call the practice of science, so the collecting of facts and the gathering of data about the world around us. But there's another facet to science that's really part of science. It's important for science. It sometimes gets conflated into the practice of science, but it's really kind of a separate issue. And I call this the interpretation of science. In other words, what does this data mean to me or mean to science or mean to the world in general? And so going back to the analogy of taking a temperature in the room, everybody might agree and come to some agreement on the fact that the temperature in the room is, say, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. But if somebody from Alaska is in the room, they might find it quite warm and balmy. But coming from New Mexico and having lived in the desert all my life, I find 68 degrees to be a little bit chilly. So really the interpretation of the fact of the scientific data does depend on where you're coming from. And so that's an important facet for understanding how science works. And what Real Science for Kids does is it focuses on the practice of science. I want to lay a solid foundation for students in what I call the four core disciplines of chemistry, biology, physics, and earth and space. And I want them to understand to the best of my ability all of the data that's out there about these four core disciplines. But I want to encourage an openness, if you will, for how that data can be interpreted. There's different interpretive frameworks you can use to evaluate that data and what it means to science and what it means to society and what it means in the world. And so I'm trying to cultivate this openness for different interpretive frameworks. But the core curriculum is about having students learn these four core foundational subjects of chemistry, biology, physics, and earth and space. And one of the ways that I'm trying to cultivate this openness to different interpretive frameworks is that I'm developing right now for these four disciplines is what I call cognitive connections. It's the COGS for Kids series. It's going to come out March 2008 for the chemistry level one. What this series is it's a workbook set that surrounds the core discipline, if you will. Chemistry is going, and biology and physics and ultimately earth and space are going to be connected to the other disciplines such as history, philosophy, technology, critical thinking, the arts, and language. And what this will allow, this workbook series will allow, is for students to have a deeper understanding of the science they're learning, what it can answer, what it can't answer, and where it came from.
Dr. Keller, you having a PhD in biophysical chemistry gives you some credibility to actually write on all these different subjects. You have formal training in biology, physics, chemistry, and
at least in the younger grades, I can do all that.
I was an earth science major in college, so I know that earth science in many cases is just a combination of those three subjects in some variation.
Yes, in fact, really when you think about it, these four core disciplines, as I say on my website and in my blog that's actually on my website, if you really think about all scientific subjects, you can pick any topic. It's really kind of a combination of chemistry and physics, biology or earth and space.
Yes.
If you think about photosynthesis, for example, it's really a combination of chemistry and biology. Polar bear habitat, learning about polar bears and where they live, is a combination of earth and space, biology, and a little bit of chemistry. So the idea behind the core curriculum is to give students the solid foundation in these four core disciplines so that any kind of scientific topic that comes across their plate, they can understand.
Sure. So, Dr. Keller, let's talk a little bit about the actual textbooks that you have released through the Real Science for Kids series so far. What actually is out there available for use?
Okay. So right now I have three different levels. There's a pre-level, a level one, and a level two. And these encompass the grades K through eight. So the pre-level is K through three. And right now I have a pre-level chemistry and a pre-level biology that's being released next week. For level one, that's grades four through six. And I have a chemistry, a biology, and a physics for level one.
Oh, great.
And then level two, I have just the chemistry. And each of these books comes with a laboratory workbook where the students do an experiment. They use the scientific method to design experiments. Ultimately, they design all of their own experiments, and they learn how to critically evaluate the data they actually get.
Mm.
And then there's also a teacher's manual that comes with each book.
Oh, that's great. And these are most appropriate for usage in any type of school setting, or are many of your users are people who do private school education or homeschool education? What are your constituents, I guess?
Right. Most of the users right now, I think, are homeschoolers, but it's appropriate for charter, private, and even public schools.
Mm-hmm.
The curriculum actually aligns with most state and national standards.
Mm-hmm.
So I've written them with that in mind.
Okay.
So even public schools can use them.
And they're certainly not religiously oriented textbooks in any way, is my understanding.
No, they're not. And in fact, that's the whole idea of defining science in the first place, is I don't really go into any of the various interpretive frameworks, especially for the younger students. What I do is present just what's mm-hmm. here and what's today and what we know about the world around us.
Sure.
Not how it got here.
So you're trying to do objective science and not so much getting into the interpretation, is what you're saying.
Right. The interpretations are important for older students to understand, but particularly the elementary grades, I really want to focus on just laying the solid foundation for students of, you know, what is an atom, what is a chemical reaction, what is a force, how does a plant grow?
Sure. And you have plans to release more textbooks in the future then?
Yes, I do. So overall, there will be, I hope in the end, 24 modules that will cover grades K through 9, each of the four core disciplines, chemistry, biology, physics, earth, and space. And each one of these disciplines will have these cognitive connections, the COGS for Kids modules developed around them, so that they can connect the science to the history, to the philosophy, to the critical thinking, or to the language, for example.
That's great. And your website, www.gravitaspublications.com, that's GravitasPublications.com, has a lot of information about your textbooks. What other information can people find on the website?
Right. Well, if they go to the website, I do have a series of three blogs. Right now, I'm really working only on one of them, but I have three different blogs. And the first blog is Gravitas for Homeschoolers. And this really outlines my philosophy for the books, why I'm writing them, a little bit about the exact content of the books. It even addresses the issues between evolution, intelligent design, and creationism, and how Real Science for Kids fits into that dialogue.
That's great.
And there's also a couple of other blogs. One is Gravitas for Public Schools, but I haven't really done a lot with that one yet. But the third one is Gravitas for Geeks. And this is a blog that I'm hoping to be able to spend a little more time on, where I just talk about molecular machines because I'm interested in them.
Oh, very cool. And I know that obviously the molecular machines issue bears on the question of evolution and intelligent design.
Right, that's right. I mean, certainly in my chemistry book, I talk about molecular machines because they're part of the chemistry of a cell.
Yes.
But I don't talk about where these molecular machines came
sure.
from. The biology book that I'm writing right now will also take a look at systems biology.
Oh.
So looking at the whole of the cell and how this network actually fits together.
Wow.
And so that's the approach I'm going to take in the biology level 2 series. In fact, it's the approach that's taken in the pre-level and the level 1. But in level 2, I'll actually call it systems biology.
So these are very cutting-edge textbooks. I think that many college students don't even learn about systems biology. And here you have, you know, 6th grade on up learning about systems biology. This is wonderful. And you're definitely laying a good foundation for these students for when they do get into the bigger questions, like where do things come from? Is it
right.
evolution? Is it intelligent design? Questions
right.
they'll be looking at when they get older. So these
right.
sound like absolutely wonderful foundation-laying textbooks, Dr. Keller. And we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today and sharing with us about these. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners about your textbooks so they can know where to get information or just what they're all about?
If you go to the website, they can learn all about the different textbooks we have. I am always developing more textbooks, so every 6 months to 9 months there hopefully are going to be some new titles released. I'm really excited about the COGS for Kids module that's going to come out at March 2008 for the Level 1 chemistry. That's almost finished right now. And I just think it's really going to be a great way to teach kids not only the science, but an interdisciplinary approach to science so that they have this solid understanding of what the science is and where it came from and what it can answer and what it can't. And so that's really what I'm excited about in terms of the new products that Gravitas is going to be offering.
These sound like absolutely wonderful teaching tools and textbook curricula products. This is wonderful, Dr. Keller. What is your website once again?
It's www.gravitas, G-R-A-V-I-T-A-S, publications.com.
And it's called the Real Science for Kids textbook series published by Gravitas Publications, of which Dr. Keller is the CEO and the primary author of these textbooks. So thank you very much for telling our listeners about this. And we wish you the best as you go forward and produce these textbooks.
Thank you very much.
Well, this is Casey Luskin with the Idea of the Future podcast. Again, to get more information, go to www.gravitaspublications.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Music on Idea of the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finn. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.